This is Joel Johnson, Senior Minister at Parkview Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to our sermons online. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me by email at joeljohnson@parkviewfinley.org. Now we begin a new sermon series this week. It's called One Thing. And we're going to study a series of passages that all have this very particular phrase in common, one thing. And each week, we're going to look at different perspectives. We're going to take familiar passages that we've probably all studied before, read through before, but we're going to allow this phrase to guide our study. And this week, we're going to read through a story in the book of Mark and find out one thing that's lacking. Another week, we're going to look at one thing to remember, and another week, one thing I know. And like these important pieces that are pointed to, that our passage will point to with this phrase, one thing. So today I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10. If you have a Bible and you want to open it up and read along together, I'd encourage you to do so. We'll use the YouVersion app. If you want to search under events for Parkview Finley in the YouVersion Bible app, you'll find scripture and sermon notes there. And again, the words will be on the screen behind me if you want to just follow along in that way. But let's begin reading in Mark chapter 10 in verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We've left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Now this account in the life of Jesus began with a man running up to him with a question. A man who fell on his knees before Jesus. A man who was searching for something that he didn't already have. And he already had a great number of things. He was marked as wealthy. We know that he had faith. He was obedient to the law, keeping the commandments. Since he was a little boy, he had been diligent in his obedience. And yet he knew that he was missing something. He knew that there was something, and he needed to ask Jesus about what it was that he needed to do to gain eternal life. He came before Jesus and fell on his knees, a position, a posture that reveals something about him. Now, falling on your knees is a position maybe of humility, of choosing to lower yourself before another person. Is a posture someone might take if they were pleading for something, begging, "Would you please?" They might fall on their knees. It might also be a position that one would take if they were submitting to the authority of another and bend down on their knees. Now, those aren't typically the kind of posture that you would expect someone of great wealth to take, but it was the position that he chose to take in front of Jesus. Jesus, in whom he saw someone who could provide him with an understanding of how to attain what he was seeking. Someone who had guidance for his life. And he said, good teacher, what must I do? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And he talked to this man about the good in his life. You know the commands. And the man said, yeah, I've kept them all since I was a boy. And after pointing to what was good, Jesus said these words, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Now, here's the answer that this man needed to hear. It wasn't the answer he wanted to hear. It wasn't the answer he liked hearing from Jesus, but it's what he needed to hear. This is what the truth is. It's often difficult for us to bear. Though it's beneficial, applicable, relevant, the very thing that will produce growth in our lives, it's very often not what we want. Not what we like hearing, but very much what we need to hear. Let's imagine that you've come to Jesus in search of something more. You know your life is basically good, and yet even in your pursuit of this goodness, you know that you're missing the dynamic kind of faith that you know is possible. You've seen it in other people, and you recognize you're still not there. You come to Jesus looking for purpose and meaning and value, the drive to live outside of yourself and stop pursuing your own desires and to see what this kingdom is like. And you know it's possible. You've seen it so many other places. And you ask Jesus, what must I do? Maybe like this man, Jesus would start by commenting on what's good, on the things that you're already doing. The things that you've defined your life and faith by doing. Certainly, you know those areas of your life that Jesus might identify as good, the way that you attend and serve, the way that you are pursuing him. This wealthy man, as soon as he acknowledged his own accomplishment, Jesus said, one thing you lack. And when we approach Jesus, this question looms over us. What's the one thing that's lacking in your life? What's the one thing that's lacking in your faith, in your pursuit of Jesus? What is this gap? Maybe it'd be easier if I asked you about an area of your life that's an opportunity for growth. What's the one great place where you have the potential for the most growth in your life? Have you noticed how we often frame the negative in very positive terms to make ourselves feel better? When you have an evaluation at work and you're talking about things that you're not doing very well, they say, well, here's a great place for you to grow. This isn't the language that Jesus used. Jesus looked at this man and said, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything and give it to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. Go and sell the things that you treasure here on earth. All those things that your heart is already devoted to, all those things that have your attention and your time, remove them from your life. And then come follow me. That's where the treasure in heaven will then be possible for you. If you were standing before the Lord and he cut right to the heart of what you need in your life, what's the one thing that he would say to you? One thing you lack. Maybe it would be something that has to do with character, the quality of your life. Maybe Jesus would say, you lack compassion. You have a close circle of people that you care a lot about, but beyond that circle, you have a hard time caring about people and their problems. You don't show that very easily to those people that are beyond your inner circle. Maybe Jesus would say, you lack self-control. You have a habit of speaking before you think. You have a habit of acting before you think through the ramifications of what it is you're going to do. And that impulsiveness, it causes you a significant amount of trouble. You find yourself in difficulty because of the way that you move before you have time to think. Maybe Jesus would look in your life and say, one thing you lack, it's forgiveness. There are hurts standing between you and other people in your life. Things that have built resentment up in you, and it's continuing to grow. Things that are bringing you to a point of anger because they're so painful and they've been there for so long. And what's lacking in your life is this idea of forgiveness that you don't seem to want to overcome. But imagine what might be possible if you were willing to extend forgiveness into the lives of people around you. If you would go and begin a conversation and ask for forgiveness for the wrong that you've done, that's where your life is lacking. Maybe Jesus would look into your life and say, you lack humility. You're very sure of yourself. And because you're so confident in your own ability, you like to be in control. You like to make decisions. You have a hard time trusting people and asking for help. And because that's the way you feel about people, Jesus might say, you're having trouble trusting me. You're lacking humility. I want for you to call on my name, Jesus would say. I want you to depend on me. I want you to seek my help, to come and seek my presence. But it's your pride that's standing in the way. Maybe Jesus would say, one thing you lack is confidence. The other side of the coin. Maybe in your life, instead of one thing, you begin looking within and you are aware of a dozen things that you feel like you're lacking, things that you've been deprived of. You don't see yourself as someone who has resources and skill and talent and ability that you have. You think about being gifted by the Holy Spirit with ministry gift, something you can use for the kingdom, and you're not even sure what that is. And because you have this critical view of your own life, you can't look past all the things that you think you're missing. And Jesus is saying to you, you lack confidence to see the things that I've placed in your life. You lack the confidence to see what potential I've placed in you. If you would just step forward and begin using those things, you would discover that you have this incredible gift that you could be using. Maybe Jesus would look in your life and say, you know, the thing that you lack is genuine engagement in things of faith. Now, you're at church every week, check the box. You read a chapter out of the Bible every day, you check the box. You love to sing along to worship songs in the car. You just love that idea of worship. And instead of tuning to some other station, you dial in to hear Christian songs. Check. And while you're fulfilling the obligation of doing all the spiritual things that would demonstrate to anybody looking into your life that you're a person of faith, your heart isn't engaged in the process. And Jesus would say to you, the thing that you lack is this authenticity behind the spiritual things that you're doing. And you're missing out on the growth that might happen in your life if you would just fully engage in that process. What's the one thing that's lacking in your life? I mean, we need to ask this question of ourselves and allow the Lord to reveal to us the answer. We need to take this question before the Lord in prayer and ask God to open our hearts and minds to see the thing in our life that's holding us back from Him, to recognize this one thing that's lacking in our lives. And we need to be willing to listen when the Lord points out this thing to us. And not only do we need to go before the Lord in prayer, but we need to open our eyes and ears when the people around us, the people that God has placed in our life, people with a deep faith of their own, when God uses them to speak truth into our lives, we need to hear those people who are trying to help us identify the areas of our lives that are lacking, who are being the voice of Jesus for us. We need to listen to what they say when they have that conversation with us and say, hey, I just wanted to talk to you about this thing I've seen in you. And I know you're not really aware of it, but I want to talk to you about it. You see, we can't begin to address what's missing in our lives until we're aware of what's missing. And when we ask the question, we need to be willing to hear the answer. We were studying for our sermon this week, and Mike Bryan, our youth minister, asked me a question. It's kind of a riddle. He said, what's the most important rung on a ladder? You ever thought about that? I started thinking. My wheels were turning. I'm like, well, you know, in an A-frame ladder, the top rung says do not stand or sit. That's important. Maybe that's the most important. It is the apex. It's the hinge that makes the ladder work. That rung on top, that's pretty important. But you can't stand on it. I use it to put the stuff that I'm working with on, but don't leave things there. When you leave tools on top of a ladder and move it, they have a tendency of hitting you in the head. So please be careful. But a rung of the ladder that you can't actually use to stand on, that can't be the most important. Maybe it's the bottom rung. It's the widest. It's the one I step on more often than the others, because sometimes I use the ladder just for a little boost. And I step on that one rung, and any time I climb higher, I'm still using that first rung on the ladder. Maybe that's the most important. He said, no. The answer to the question is this. The most important rung on the ladder is the one that you miss. That's the one you want to focus on, because you don't want to miss it. You want to make sure your foot is firmly planted. I was thinking about that riddle yesterday. We were doing our backyard mission project. And I was on the ladder. I have one of those ladders that you can, it's an A-frame, but you can extend it and then spread it out like an extension ladder. And I was higher than I normally go on that ladder. And it was a cold morning, and it was kind of a misty rain, and things were a little damp. And as I was climbing up to clean out some gutters on a house, I was thinking about the rungs on that ladder and how I didn't really want to have my feet slide all the way down. It was a long way. The most important rung on the ladder is the one that's missing. And the most important aspect that we want to focus on this morning is the thing that's lacking in our lives. This is what Jesus pointed out to the wealthy man. The one thing in his life that he still needed. Without addressing this one thing, he would never be able to fully submit his life to the Lord. It would continue to hold him back from the life that God was calling him to live. It would continue to keep him from fully submitting to the Lord. And so I want to back up and catch the sentence that Mark tells us about just before Jesus spoke. He reveals to us the heart of Jesus. He says this: Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then he said, "One thing you lack." I'm so glad Mark included that description in his gospel. That Jesus looked at him and loved him. You see, the Lord loves us enough to draw our attention to what we need, what needs to be addressed. He loves us enough to point us to the gap. This is love. It's the same kind of love that drives parents to correct their children, to show them the things that are dangerous, to keep them touching the hot stove, to continue working in their lives, and to be willing to correct their children in meaningful ways, to say, whoa. I want you to hear what you just said. Because if you say that, you're going to have trouble making friends. You're going to have trouble being successful in the world around you. You need to think about the tone you're using. You need to think about the words that you're using. Parents who love their kids, help them to grow, to become successful, productive, and independent. And one of the ways that's most important for you to do that is to be willing to point out the things that they need to work on. This is love, the kind of love that motivates friends to have difficult conversations with each other, to look them in the eye and say, "Hey, we need to talk. I need to ask you about this thing. I don't think you're aware of it, but I want to point out to you what's happening in your relationships because of this thing." This is love. It's the same kind of love that sent Jesus to the cross to suffer and to die so that we would have the opportunity to find forgiveness in him. Jesus was willing to endure pain, give up his life because of his love for us. This is the same kind of love that Jesus has for us as he draws our attention to what needs to be addressed in our lives. Unfortunately, we have a tendency of shying away from this conversation, of running from this moment because it's painful, because it's uncomfortable, because we know that it calls us to what's difficult. It calls us to a course of action that's going to require effort, that it's going to require discipline, it's going to require sacrifice. And we avoid that question. We avoid that conversation knowing what it's going to cost us. Maybe you've been putting this off because you already know what it is that you need to address in your life, and you just don't think you're ready to make that sacrifice. And so you're backing away from the Lord instead of asking this question and allowing the Lord to point you in the direction that you know you need to go. See, when we step forward into this conversation, we find that instead of a critical Savior who's pointing out our faults and failures, we have a loving God who is pointing us to the gap and helping us understand the value of filling in that gap, of what he would do in our lives if we would just address this thing that's missing, the life that we could be living in him, full of purpose, pointed outward, considering others instead of pursuing our own desires, living this life that God is calling us to live if we would just overcome this thing that is lacking in our lives. When we respond, when we choose to obey, to do what's difficult, to do what's uncomfortable, to make the sacrifices necessary, we respond in love to the Lord. I notice in the encounter Jesus had with this wealthy man, when it came time for him to respond, he had trouble. When Jesus told him the one thing he needed to do, his face fell and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now here's the point of the story, that Jesus called this man to address the thing in his life that would finally allow him to surrender everything to the Lord. Knowing it would be difficult, knowing it would cost him, but it would bring him into this new life, fully, completely changed, pursuing Jesus and leaving behind the things that were trapping him, the things that were capturing his heart and withholding it from the Lord. See, Jesus doesn't call us to do the easiest thing, to get us ready for big change. He doesn't call us to address the smallest error so that we'll be more comfortable when the hard things come. He doesn't ask us to address the thing that will take the least amount of time to get us associated with the idea of making changes in our lives. He calls us to address the one thing that is most important, because it's keeping us from the life that he has for us. And when we submit to Jesus, we find not only does he point us to the thing that we need to address, but he helps us to address it so that we can live for him, so that we can live in him and discover the life that he's calling us to, a life that calls our hearts away from the trappings of this world and points them to the value of an eternal relationship with him. Notice that this man who came to Jesus, wealth was the thing that he couldn't break free from. Wealth is such a critical focus for so many people. We like having nice things. We like the idea of comparing our lives to other people and evaluating what we have and seeing where we rank. We like using nice things. We like possessing nice things, and we allow stuff to capture our hearts. We allow the idea of wealth, the confidence that comes from having wealth, the pursuit of getting out of debt. We allow it to take over our lives and consume our time and attention and energy. And sometimes that pursuit holds us back, keeping us from the life that God is calling us to live. Now, when the disciples heard Jesus sum up this encounter, he said it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it would be for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were amazed at what Jesus said. Their confidence was shattered. They said, who then can be saved? This isn't even possible, Jesus. What are you saying? And Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. And when we imagine overcoming this one thing in our lives, it might seem insurmountable to you. It might seem impossible for you to begin to remove the thing that's holding you back from God. It might seem impossible for you to take on something else that's going to change your life and orient you toward eternity. But you don't have to do it on your own. In fact, the truth is, none of us can accomplish it on our own. We can't earn our own salvation. We can't overcome the gaps in our lives. We can't fill in the thing that we're lacking. We need Jesus. We need his guidance. We need his strength to address the things that are keeping us from him. And more than anything, we need his love and grace to meet us where we are and carry us through the difficulty of addressing the thing in our life that's keeping us from him. And when we submit to Jesus, he is willing and able to bring us close to him.